episode number 238, aftermarket for the 2010 Camaro.
Almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
And here we are again, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jason.
So what are we going to talk about this week?
The weather sucks. Gas prices suck.
You're going back 4 years.
I know. I was thinking about that on the way here. I was thinking,
the weather's not too bad.
It's raining.
Sprinkling a little bit out there.
Okay. It's not summer.
It's supposed to be 70 degrees by the end of this week. So.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, really.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Never mind. I retract
it. It should be a nice Easter weekend.
Is that this coming weekend?
Yeah, that's this coming weekend. Yeah.
Oh, crap. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
It's a sad world when you have to get ready for Easter. Gas prices are...
I just paid $302 for premium in my Camaro yesterday. Fill up the tank.
Oh, bitch, you got jacked, bitch.
It's the way they're going. They're just going up and up.
Well, that's because it's summertime. You know, the of higher course. The temperature, the higher the, you know, we know the drill.
Yeah.
Well, let's not start it on the show on too much of a downer. We're going to talk about some Camaro news. We're going to talk about the aftermarket. I've been kind of waiting for this one. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this a lot more going forward, yeah. too, now that, you know. That's the point of this, is we're going to kind of kickstart things. Well, we got some voicemails, some emails, and yeah, that's it. So let's get into the thick of things. What's up in the Camaro world these days?
Oh, I don't know. Same old, same old. No, there's more aftermarket stuff coming out for the Camaro right now.
You want to talk about that first, or you want to talk about the Indy 500 thing?
Oh, they announced the driver for the Indy 500, who I have no idea who it is. Robin Roberts from Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was news.
Oh, I'm sure there's more news out there, but yeah. I've been kind of out of the loop. I had a busy work week, and
They announced that Indy 500 car a long time ago.
Yeah, but there's
when is the Indy 500? It's May, right?
Yeah, May 11th, 12th, 13th. I don't know.
Back to back years, the Camaro's going to pace the Indy 500.
Yeah, there's going to be something else different about this Camaro. Keep an eye on CamaroZ28.com.
It's orange with white stripes.
I mean, a little different yet.
Last year's was cool. I liked last year's.
Yeah, it was all right. And the last time that the Indy paced, the Camaro paced the Indy 500 was in 93.
Yeah.
Before last year.
Yeah, now it's back to back here.
It's because we're badass, that's why.
Yeah.
Robin Roberts, huh?
Robin Roberts. She'll be able to maintain speeds through the corners up to 120 miles per hour. Elaine Irwin Mellencamp, the wife of Indiana rocker John Mellencamp, became the first woman to drive it back in 2001.
Was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Does it say what she drove then?
Whatever it was in 2001.
I wonder if 2001.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's going to careen into the wall. I hope not. Wouldn't that be horrifying?
You know, I've never seen the Indy 500.
I don't think I have either, but maybe I'll watch it. I think I watched it last year, too, just for the pace car. Well, so when is it? Does it say? I forgot.
Yeah. It's, let's see here. I'm sure it says it here somewhere.
Let's go while we're young.
Can you believe this article doesn't even say when the Indy 500 is?
It's coming up. How's that? It's going to be this year.
It was driven last year by Josh Duhamel. 1993, it was driven by Jim Perkins.
That I did know. Yeah. I just forgot. Well, it's going to be cool. You know, it's nice to see the Camaro pacing the cars again. I haven't seen...
Sixth time the Camaro's been pacing the Indy 500.
God, I would think it would have been more than that. A lot of Corvettes in there. And there was the Dodge Ram, the new style Dodge Ram when that first came out. That was a big deal.
Really?
Mm-hmm. If I remember right.
Well, the I didn't know blue, trucks, blue, trucks
with,
paste,
blue with the white stripes. You know.
Oh.
Yeah. I wonder if a Grand National ever did.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big Indy 500 sort of guy. I'm not a big Indy guy.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, well, that should be cool. Whenever the heck we can spare the time here, we'll find out when the date is, and maybe we'll watch it and see what the big deal is. You know.
Yeah.
You ever watch Indy 500? Give us a call. Let us know what you think of it. And tell us when the hell it is this year. We obviously don't know.
Nor care.
I'll just TiVo it and, you know, yeah. I'll look at it and fast forward to where there's a wreck and then we can watch the pace car
go. Yeah, there
out.
You go.
Hey, cool, Camaro, look at that. Hey, the Camaro's back, look at that. You pray for a wreck just so you can see the Camaro? That's bad. That's just wrong. So anyway, let's talk about the fun part that we can all be involved in instead of just watching is the aftermarket for the 2010 Camaro. Before we get into the 2010 Camaro, let's talk about the aftermarket for everything up to the 2010 Camaro, which is pretty much stopped.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything really.
And for understandable
GM
reasons.
GM Performance is always releasing a new LS something. So, of course, the fourth gen is going to take advantage of that, you know, with the LS1 motor.
Right.
That's really all I've been seeing. It's you know, LSX this and LSX that.
Yeah.
So.
And that's really not for the common, you know, garage guy. This is for the guy, the weekend racer or the professional racer.
Sure.
Do you think that maybe everything that can be perfected within cost effectiveness for the up through fourth gen Camaros is pretty much been done?
That's a possibility. Another possibility is that why continue developing for an older platform when you can focus on a new platform that's new out there
and probably make a god awful profit margin.
Yeah, considering what me and you were talking about today.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. But I mean, you listeners out there, do you think that there is still a healthy aftermarket for the first through fourth, and you know, primarily fourth gen aftermarket? Is it do you think it's something that'll kind of continue steady without much growth but without much decline?
Yeah, so pretty much stagnant.
Yeah, but still okay, offerings. I mean, you really don't see much for third gens anymore.
You see all the usual stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But do you think there's going to be new product development? I mean, there's a lot of fourth gen Camaros out there still.
Oh, heck
a lot.
Yeah.
So if you come out with something, you know, I mean, you got a good chance of selling them, but again, are they really? Does anybody care? Is it already been done for the most part? It's kind of sad, but kind of good at the same time. I mean, you can pick up a fourth gen for good money, you know, that's been well cared for, throw some parts into it, and have a really fast car that looks good and handles great. And I'd still like to do that.
Yeah.
But since I'm preoccupied with what I have now. So that leads us into the 2010 Camaro and 2011 Camaro coming up, the aftermarket. We've said that the aftermarket is really going to explode for this car like nothing else. And I don't think, as good as it's starting to get, I don't think we're at the peak.
Oh, no.
Of at least just for this round.
We're only a year into production here.
It's the aftermarket is pretty decent, though. God, what is it? GM High Tech has a shootout of different intake.
Yeah, it does. This
systems.
This month's issue, yeah.
And the profit margin is ridiculous on those. It's a pipe, it's a filter, a couple of welds, and some band clamps. And they're getting like $400 for them.
Wow.
No, I understand that, though. I mean, you have to do some R&D engineering. You can't just go to Home Depot and get some dryer hose and have it perform the same thing.
Well, although some people have.
Yeah, they don't really care about aesthetics and, you know, stuff like that. But
the leaf charger.
What's that?
The leaf charger.
Oh, yeah. You can hook up a leaf blower to your car and have a little supercharger. It's electric power. It doesn't even have any.
That's right.
Yeah. God, some of the things that we came up with back in the day. So,
So one of our vendors here, Stainless Works.
Stainless Works.
Posted their new long tube headers to factory connection.
Which is pretty cool. If you want to keep your factory exhaust, but you want headers, that's a cool way to go.
They're available in 1 7/8 inch to 2 inch primaries with a 3 inch slip fit connector.
What's the size?
1 7/8 or 2 inch primaries.
2 inch primary?
Yeah, with a 3 inch slip.
I didn't even know that. 2 inch primary, that's a fat pipe.
Yeah. I think the ones I have on my fourth gen are 1 3/4.
I think so, yeah. That's what I've got on my 2010, my Borla's. But Stainless Works makes a very good product.
Looks pretty sweet.
They're proud supporters of the Camaro Z28.com community. In addition to that, in a different thread, they've also got the retro classic style straight through chambered exhaust for the 2010 Camaro, and it's pretty much straight through. The controversy over that was that it's around $1,100, and Mudbone jumped in and said, "That's freaking nuts." And I just kind of made a subtle point, playing devil's advocate, saying, look, you know, it's not the same stuff you can go to Home Depot, buy pipe, bend it on your workbench in your garage, and have it fit, perform, sound, last, the same thing. I mean, there's Stainless Works has a hefty operation to make these things right and make them sound right. And, yeah, it's a lot of money, but it's also you got to pay for more than just the material. It's a good company. So that, you know, the intake and exhaust is always cool.
Yeah. See, that's my question for this year, too, because if I'm going to do any modifications to my Camaro, that's what I want to do. I want to do an intake, and I want to do an exhaust.
Do you have any idea what you're going to
do? I have no idea what I want to do. I want something that sounds great, and then with the intake, since I have the LS3 engine, I want something that I'm going to get, you know, something decent out of. You know, if I'm going to be, I don't know, spending $400 for a 2 horsepower, I would just rather stay with the stock one.
Well, I think I may have mentioned this briefly once before, and I don't want to get into it too heavily just because I don't want anybody to get pissed at me, or maybe I don't fully understand myself. There might be other dynamics that I'm not aware of, but all I want to know is, what is the intake vacuum on a lot of these, the intake manifold, manifold pressure, you know, vacuum, what the vacuum level is before and after using these intakes.
Okay.
Just that's my question. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
So yeah, exhaust and suspension. Petters really came out of the gate fast.
Oh yeah.
And there's some
cool
stuff.
They had their kits for the fifth gen out. I mean,
long before the cars were even on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got their Extreme XA coilover kit, and I love it.
And we've had Pete here on the show a couple times, and he is just a wealth of information in regards to anything with the suspension on these cars.
Yeah, suspension. It's the thing that's nice is that it's like competition grade, but it's enthusiast level.
Exactly.
You know, look at me. we've got another company, FAT.
FAT.
That's, I believe that's the correct way to say it.
P-F-A-D-T.
P-F-A-D-T. Very cool people to deal with. I chatted with them at SEMA this past year. They are seem to be geared a little bit more towards the performance instead of just saying that you have the parts. They've got some rear trailing arms that are really, really cool. They're not tubular or boxed tubes like a lot of the traditional style. These are actually, it almost looks like a structure under a bridge. I forgot what the term I'm looking for is, but it's really, really light, but still adds strength. They made a post in the aftermarket section for the 2010 Camaro. Very cool stuff. And then they also have a really interesting strut tower brace coming out, and one that will clear a Magna Charger.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't think I'd ever be able to run a strut tower brace on mine with a Magna Charger. It looks pretty cool. So, and we're going to be linking all these up at least as much as we can in the show notes here. Mm-hmm. And then there's the exterior, of course.
Yeah. We've got BF Xenon here. They made a post about their new smoked lens covers, and there's a group buy going on for it, too.
Right. These are GTS, the old standard company, man.
Yep.
Remember it was an argument on the old, speaking since we mentioned the F-list, of whether or not you should peel the GTS sticker off the front of your headlight covers on your, you know, 1995 Z28. So.
Yeah, I went through 2 sets of lens covers on my Camaro. Not my 95 Camaro, you know, because they kept getting stolen.
Nice. So, I'm sorry, kind of sidetracked there. But
no pricing yet in regards to a group buy, but they're just gauging interest here. They've got quite a few shots of what it looks like here on a yellow 2010 Camaro, as well as it's kind of like a louver.
Oh, the side window louvers?
For the side window. Not a big fan of
them. I'm not a fan of those either. I wonder how well those are going to sell.
The rear black owls look kind of neat.
Uh-huh.
So do the front. But I kind of like the look of the halo light without the lens cover on it. So
yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But BF Xenon, they're the same company that makes the HID upgrade for the non-halo version. So if you get their HID upgrade plus their lens covers, it kind of equals it out.
You can check them out at bfxenon.com. That's spelled BFXENON.com.
And they are supporters of the website as well, just like FAT is, that we mentioned them earlier. More exterior stuff going on. Well, there's always, you know, the first proclaimed aftermarket appearance item out there, 2010 Camaro smooth locks. I think I announced
got one on my car.
I think I announced it before anybody else announced theirs.
Yeah.
So check them out at smoothlock.com.
Yeah.
And they're a proud supporter of CamaroZ28.com as well.
Mm-hmm.
Close enough. So what else we got? You know, Magna Charger. I mean, my car is kind of a rolling example of all the aftermarket out there. I've got Borla exhaust. I'm very happy with that. I'd probably just as happy with Stainless Works or anything else, I think. But what I got, I'm very happy with. Forgeline wheels. But Camaro specific, Magna Charger. And the Petter suspension.
Yeah.
So let's get back to you.
Yeah.
Your exhaust kit.
Yeah. I don't know what I want to do.
I think I know what you should do.
Tell me.
Well, I'm really happy with my Borla. I have the Borla exhaust as well.
Yeah, and I like the sound of it.
And I'm thinking that for you, knowing you the way that I do, I think that you should get the GM Performance Parts exhaust kit, which is made by Borla to GM specifications. So it's
nice.
Probably going to be really similar to mine.
Now, there's two different versions of that, right?
Well, there is from Borla. I don't believe so from GM Performance Parts.
I think there is.
Really?
I think there's an off-road version, and I think there's the regular.
Right. The touring version is what Borla calls it. And that's what I have, too. I'm very thankful that I didn't get something louder, the race off-road version, because it would just be over the top. And I would say get the touring version. Get the subtler version. Otherwise, you're going to hate yourself.
What do exhausts go for nowadays?
A lot.
A lot?
Yeah,
really?
A lot. $700-$800, give or take.
God,
depending
how
you do it.
Like $400 for my Borla exhaust for my 95 Camaro.
Yeah, but what was the sticker on that car?
On my Camaro?
95 Camaro Z28.
21.9.
Jeez, that's what they should be now. That's according to everybody else. Oh, and it should be like 10,000 pounds lighter.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anyway, let's get back. But intake.
Intake.
Yeah. I really personally...
Well, I'm gonna look through the GM High Tech magazine that came out this month. Because they did like six.
Yeah.
I think they did six of them. And I just want something that looks decent and, you know, it's going to give me a decent amount of power. Otherwise, I'm not going to bother dropping the $400 or whatever it's going to cost.
Yeah, whatever it is.
For a cold air induction. But, you know, what the hell?
I got to think it almost 50% of the decision, if not more, is just whether or not you like the looks of it.
Yeah.
You know, fit and finish and all that. And that is important, though. You don't want the decoupling in the middle of things. And
yeah, no
your
kidding.
Your MAF sensor would read completely off and then... You know.
Then you got to oil the filter and...
Oh, you got to over-oil the filter.
Yeah.
Make sure you put tons of K&N oil on there so it clogs up all the sensors and everything. We talked about that previous episode.
Yeah, last week. So, yeah, that's me.
What's your favorite aftermarket part? Tell us. Give us a call and tell us. We'll give you the number in a little bit.
Yep.
You going to do anything else, Chris?
No, I think that's it.
Really? Window tint?
Mm.
Curb feelers?
Curb feelers. Yikes.
What about,
maybe window tint.
What about a Crown air freshener for the back?
Oh.
Neon license plate frame?
Retro here.
There we go. There we go. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah, give us a call. Tell us what you tell us, even cooler, tell us what you'd like to see made.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know,
yeah.
What is available for the fourth gen that is not available for the fifth gen? Or tell us what you've seen that's cool. You know, tell us about it. We want to hear from you because otherwise we'll just talk all day.
Yeah.
It'll be your turn. Speaking of which, voicemails.
Voicemails. We actually got some voicemails and we got some emails too.
We got voicemails and emails.
Yeah.
Cool. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with some emails.
All right. You want?
Go ahead. Let me do this one. This comes to us from Richard, soon to be owner of a black LT2 RS. He says, I was wondering, I'm waiting for my Camaro LT2 RS that is slated to come this summer and was worried about when the winter time comes. If I will be able to still use it every day as a everyday driving car. I currently live in New York, and we do not get constant snow, but when the frozen stuff is on the ground, how possible would it be to still be able to use my car every day? And what do I have to do to prepare it effectively for winter? And what are the main reasons you guys keep yours in the garage? Thank you for answering my question. If you can, and keep up the great work on such an awesome podcast and site. Your fan, Rich E.
Nice.
Where do we want to start here?
The winter thing?
Oh, yeah.
This is actually easy. The first thing you need is common sense.
Yeah.
Common sense. You use good judgment.
You're not going to out-drive everybody on the road. I mean...
You got to watch it. I mean, it's not a truck. It's not a four-wheel drive. It's not, you know...
Coming from someone who drove...
Oh, God.
An 87 Buick Grand National, a 95 Camaro, a Z28... And then a supercharged, when I put the supercharger on it, it is not fun to drive these cars in the snow.
Well, those cars. Right.
That kind of goes towards, why do you guys garage your cars? Because I'm sick of driving cars like that in the snow. I know with the new Camaro, with stability control and traction control, it's much better. Especially he's getting the LT2 RS car, which I think comes with more of an all-season tire on it in the first place.
Right.
I would still recommend going out and getting yourself a great set of Bridgestone Blizzax tires.
Yep. Blizzax are the ticket.
Yeah.
That's just worth your peace of mind. Even if you're a terrific driver and you're well aware that you got to be extremely careful and keep your wits about you and keep your logic about you, that's just added insurance.
Yeah. That's about it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'll be easy, not easy, but it'll be easier to drive than what you might think. When we first did our test drive in February of last year,
yep.
It was in the middle of Michigan-Detroit winter, and we had a V8 and a V6 vehicle, a Camaro, 2010 Camaros, and we did all right. We did all right.
Yeah.
You know, the electronics really help. So I don't think you're going to have a problem. If you find that you're having a problem, yeah, make the necessary adjustments, but you should be able to get by just fine.
If I had to drive my Camaro all year round, I could. I choose not to. That's all. Because we have that luxury.
Yeah, we're fortunate enough for that, but not everybody does. But if you don't, you still want a Camaro, I wouldn't let that hold you back as long as you're confident in your ability.
Yeah.
Ability is the ticket.
Absolutely.
I got one here. This one comes from Tyler. Tyler says, I just recently started listening to the Z28 podcast. Close enough. Gotta say it's awesome, but here's a rumor about the Camaro you might not have heard. Here is how I heard it. I was at a GM-sponsored car show, and there was a GM employee saying that the V6 Camaro might be receiving a twin-turbo setup. Makes sense, too, since this month's motor trend, I read something about the 2013 Malibu could possibly be receiving a twin-turbo V6. I also think that the Z28 will bow in late 2011. In late 2011, seeing how that it'll be Chevy's 100th birthday. Interesting point there. But keep up the great work on the podcast. Tyler, thank you so much for the email. And since I forgot to say it, as I bash my microphone and back into my face, reaching for this, Rich E., thank you for your previous email, too. So what do you think, twin turbo V6?
Possibility.
There's been some talk about that on the board.
It's being picked up by a couple different news agencies as well. There was one here that was linked on the board. This is GM developing twin turbo V6 to compete with Ford's EcoBoost V6. This is all speculation right now. So who knows? They're calling specifically the 3.0 liter LF1 V6 used in the likes of the Buick LaCrosse, Cadillac CTS, SRX, Equinox, Terrain. Sources close to the program tell us early prototypes of the engine, codenamed the LF3, were producing close to 400 horsepower before any spark timing or calibration refinement was performed.
Uh-oh. That's significant.
Grand National all over again.
Well, yeah. You know, Buick can't use the name.
They can't use Grand National anymore?
It's owned by a racing series.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's what it was originally named after. It was actually licensed.
Oh, really? I didn't know
I believe that's a story. And again, if I'm incorrect, please somebody tell me, but I believe that's the ticket.
Okay.
So you probably won't for a long time ever see a Buick Grand National. Oh. But I think GM still owns the trademark to the GNX name.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
Yeah, who knows?
A little sidetrack there.
That's interesting, though. Yep. Maybe we'll see something. Maybe we won't. Who knows?
You know what? But it's good that there's talk of this. Just like it's good that, you know, we're talking about the Camaro, the next V6 Camaro having, what, one horsepower more than the next Mustang V6 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, okay, it's one horsepower, big whoop, but at the same time,
Hey, nothing's been released yet about the 2011 Camaro, so maybe it won't.
Yeah, maybe, but all I can say is if the one horsepower thing is true and anybody who's kind of, you know, snickering at it going, oh, big whoop, just think of these terms.
Yeah.
Insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
How about some voicemails?
Let's do a voicemail here.
Alrighty.
Hey guys, this is Camaro Guy 579 from the boards. I just had a question for Chris. You said you got the new Equinox on order. I'm just curious as to what you ordered. I'm actually wanting to get one of those myself. I want the LTZ all-wheel drive V6. I'm wondering if maybe you got the four-cylinder, maybe like only the two-wheel drive version. But I actually drove the four-cylinder at the Jacksonville International Auto Show, and I was kind of underwhelmed with the amount of power from that four-cylinder. I mean, it had some power there, but not enough for me. So I'm just curious as to if you took a test drive on it and what you thought of it. It's a really nice vehicle. I'm just impressed with how much room you get for not a full-sized SUV. So, all right, I'm just looking forward to your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for your voicemail.
Nice.
Yeah. I did, I placed an order for a 2010 Equinox LTZ. The only options beyond the LTZ package that I ordered, I upgraded to the 18-inch rims.
Rims? Don't get me started.
And the navigation DVD system. I didn't want the sunroof.
So, no?
No. And the color, I think, was
black?
It's called...
Black.
Black. That's not the regular black color. I can't remember. It's a black... It's like a charcoal black color.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah. So what about that engine, though? What engine did you?
I got the four-cylinder.
You did?
Yes. I didn't upgrade to the V6. I wanted the gas mileage.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've already got a 400-and-some horsepower Camaro. I don't need to drive that thing every day, too. It's supposed to get 32 miles per the gallon on the highway in 24 city.
Nice.
So yeah, that's what I got. Extremely comfortable to drive. Very cool. I drove one when we were in Ohio for the big F-Body meet and greet thing.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
They had the Camaro and they had the Equinox, and everybody was in line for the Camaro, and I was the only one in line for the Equinox.
So let's talk about that four-cylinder power.
Yeah.
How was it?
It's like 180 horsepower. It's decent.
That's not bad. That's actually...
It's decent. And it's got that technology where it's in the back where for the sound deadening, where it's like the Bose wave thing where
acoustic,
it shoots
a
reverse sound.
Sonic wave cannon. Or,
yeah.
I don't know.
So it silences the interior. It's extremely quiet.
Really?
Yes. Extremely quiet inside.
When do you pick it up?
Let's see. I ordered it last Friday. He said 6 to 8 weeks, so...
A couple months.
5 to 7 more weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. No V6, huh?
No.
Hmm.
Nope.
Interesting.
Front-wheel drive, not all-wheel drive.
Oh, what? Dude, you want a skirt?
Want a skirt? What?
I'm just kidding. Well, you know, this is the same guy that had a Trailblazer SS, you know, yeah. All-wheel drive.
Well, you couldn't order it in front-wheel drive.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, but you could.
Yeah,
no, you just
well,
rear-wheel drive.
Just rear-wheel drive, but... You know. I'm just saying, which I shouldn't be.
This is going to be the family mobile. This is not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's nothing like that.
I'm a family guy.
Yeah.
I'm still balling. I'm a player.
Okay.
Horsepower warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got tickets and jail time to prove it. All right. God, we're running out of time. Do we have one? How many voicemails do we have left?
We have two more left.
Let's save one, if not both, for next week because we don't want to make this last forever, ever.
I think we can squeak one more in.
All right.
Guys, Bearsy28. I haven't called in a while. Finally got caught up on podcasts. Just came back from a dealership out here in Connecticut. They had a Synergy green Camaro there for $26,000. Not a bad looking car. I mean, it's personally, but the front brakes, you know, they're not SS brakes. They look a little weird, but they had another one in there, an orange SS. It was a 2SS. And I noticed that it's probably, the later half of 2010 because it doesn't have the chiclets on it. And it also doesn't have the caliper weights on it that everybody was screaming about. And another thing, as far as the car care tips, I can't really think of too much other than the tires they had on my car that have been on there for, probably about 4 years since I bought them. I'd say check the dates on your tires. If you can't see it on the outside, they're on... is probably the inside of the vehicle. Not it's not on the inside of the tire, but I checked the dates on mine, and mine were made in 2006. So they're 2004, I think it was, rather. The tires were actually 6 years old, and after a certain age, the dealership isn't supposed to sell them if they're past 6 years old. And another thing is if they're, obviously, if they're too dried and old like that, you run into a problem with ply separation, which can, you remember the Ford Explorer recall, Firestone tires a number of years ago. Ply separation, yeah, highway speeds wreck. It's not pretty. All right, you guys, I figured I'd give you a heads up about the green Camaro and whatnot. All right, have a good one.
Was that Bearsy28?
That was Mr. Bearsy28 himself. It was great to hear from him.
Yeah, where you been, buddy? Well, that's cool. Synergy green. I've seen a couple in dealership lots around here. No brake weights. Interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Kind of died down, so maybe people just aren't noticing because they're
I'd
not crying about
to,
it.
I'd be interested to hear, Bear, if there was a markup on those cars that you were looking at.
Good
Any
question.
Type of market adjustment on those.
Yeah.
I didn't know the thing about the tires, though. The 6 years. And
that's
the
pretty interesting. Yeah. That's something that I don't think I've heard. I might have heard before and just didn't think too much about it, but that's a great, great tip, Bear.
Yeah.
Check the dates on your tires.
I'm checking the dates on my tires now, too.
Especially on your 95.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, good stuff. You know what we didn't do? We didn't give out the number.
No, we didn't.
So instead of playing, I'm just going to give it out. We want to hear from you. Tell us about your aftermarket parts, your favorite aftermarket parts, parts you like to have see made, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. Or shoot us an email and talk to us about just about anything you want. The number is 586-486-3182. Chris, once again, that number is
586-486-3182.
All right, we got to get out of here because we're running out of time. We'll play the remaining voicemail, what, next week?
Yeah, we'll save it for next week.
And then
week.
Any others that we should, and I mean should, get between now and then. So everybody have a great week. Thanks for all your support and subscriptions to all our various outlets, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.